The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. And let's chat a little bit. I've got a question for you today. Now, has everybody have a good Easter? Great. Come on up. There they are. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible and our scriptures is every time you read it, you might read these stories over and over again. There's always this one little thing that might stick out to you that you've never seen or heard before. Call them little nuggets, okay? And in this gospel lesson is a nugget that I've always wondered about. And I started to have to think about it a little bit this week, and I think I may have come up with something. We'll see. But this little nugget was, Jesus is telling them all about the scriptures and everything, and they're his disciples. They've seen these things. They've heard him talk. They've heard him teach. They've heard him say about God's love. They saw his death and resurrection, and he's telling them again. And then there's this little nugget. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. And I'm going, wait a minute, weren't they there? Didn't they see all this stuff? And then I started to think about that. So that brings us to our question today. How many of you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Okay, and if you like other sandwiches, that's okay too, but I want you to think about it the same way, because we've got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are wonderful, aren't they? They've got this wonderful, I've got part of it here. I've got this wonderful, beautiful purple jar of jelly, right? Of grape jelly, right? And I've got this wonderful peanut butter jar, right? Brand new, haven't even been opened. And then we've got this wonderful bread to go along with it, to put it all between, right? That's great, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? But as wonderful and sweet as this jelly is, it's not part of the sandwich yet. And as wonderful and probably smelling wonderful as this peanut butter, it's not part of the sandwich yet. And there's still nothing between the bread, because nothing's been opened yet. And sometimes we have trouble opening it, right? We need a little help. And I kind of think maybe that's what's going on here in our scriptures today. Jesus knows that they know about the things that he's taught. They know about the wonderful things they've seen, and they've been witnesses to the resurrection and everything, but they haven't been able to put it together to make that wonderful sandwich yet. They needed a little help opening the jars and putting it together. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? And that's why we come to this place. We hear the things. We sing the songs, and we hear the preaching, and we hear the Sunday school lessons. But we need to let the Spirit be here with us and put it all together in that wonderful sandwich we call faith. Because, as it said, we are witnesses to everything, just like it says in the gospel. We're witnesses to the Bible and stories. We're witnesses to the wonderful songs. If you listen to the words of the songs, sometimes they're really beautiful. And if you listen to the stories in Sunday school over and over again, you might understand something new every time. Find that little nugget in it that you maybe never saw before or heard before. And when you put them together, it makes a wonderful, glorious sandwich called faith. So, I hope you will be here so that the Spirit can open those jars. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us this place for the witnesses to come and hear about you and then go out and share that and be witnesses to all that we have heard and seen and share God's love and glorious resurrection with all those outside in the world that haven't heard that story yet. Bring us to this place. Let us have a joyous time here and send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds so that your scriptures may put together the glorious sandwich of faith. Amen. Thank you for coming today.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we read in John's Gospel the story of what happened on that first Easter evening of the disciples locked together in the upper room. Today, we hear that same story that comes from Luke, and there's some variations on that, and Luke also adds another story as well that comes right before our reading that we read in our Gospel lesson today is the story of the walk to Emmaus, where Jesus met a couple of disciples on the road. They didn't recognize him, but they were discussing all the things that had happened, the cross and the resurrection, and it wasn't until he sat down and ate with them that they recognized him. And so the scene for today opens up back in Jerusalem. The disciples are all huddled together, and they are sad. They are devastated. They are upset. They maybe even be angry. After all, they had given Jesus everything. They had made a full commitment to Jesus over the last few years. They had given up family. They had given up their homes. They had given up their jobs. They had given up their friends just to come and follow Jesus, to hear what he had to say, to see what he had to do, to follow him, because they had given their full commitment because they thought that he truly was the Messiah who was sent from God. They believed that. And now they were devastated. Peter had warned Jesus earlier, "Don't go to Jerusalem. It's a dangerous place. They are out to get you." But Jesus would have none of that. And so he went to Jerusalem. And then too, the disciples went along as well then too, and they saw all the events that took place. And sure enough, Jesus went and got himself killed. He was arrested, tried, brutalized, hung on a cross to die, and he was buried. He was gone. He was dead. And they couldn't understand what all just happened. Why is he gone? They were just terribly upset. Their whole world had been turned upside down. Now, earlier in that day, several of the women had gone to the tomb to anoint Jesus with spices, and they came back and said, "Jesus is risen." No, people don't rise from the dead, but they said, "Yes, Jesus is risen." They wouldn't believe the women. And then, too, here in Luke's gospel, it's those disciples that Jesus met along the road to Emmaus that came running back all the way to Jerusalem, and they had told the disciples as well, too, "Jesus is alive. We have seen him." And then it happened. Jesus did come into the room, and he said, "Peace be with you." And they were shocked and they were surprised. You can imagine when Jesus came in that you could hear just the chairs being pushed back, people gasping to see somebody, to see Jesus come back from alive. Maybe they're about ready to jump out of the window because they thought he was a ghost. But he wasn't a ghost. He showed them his hands and his side and his feet, and he asked for something to eat, and he ate with them. He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." You know, sometimes I think we get like the disciples. We get feeling like the disciples. We have made commitments. We throw our whole life into something, whether it's commitments to our husbands, to our wives, to our kids, or to our parents, to other family members, to friends. We make commitments to work. We make commitments to school. We make commitments to projects, to church, to all these places, to all these organizations. We throw ourselves into it. We go wholeheartedly into it, thinking we are going to do good. But then everything goes haywire. It just doesn't work out like we had planned it to. Our vision is not there anymore. Things go bad. People treat us wrong. People don't want to cooperate. There's disasters that happen. We ourselves get caught up in something else. And we feel devastated. We feel lost. We don't know how to fix it. Sometimes we just want to go crawl under a rock, just like the disciples wanted to go crawl up in that upper room, lock the doors, shut the whole world away. We get like that at times. Life just does not go well for us, even though we have thrown ourselves into it. But here in the story, Jesus comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus comes to us and he says, "Peace be with you." Now, we don't really have a good understanding of what peace is. This peace that Jesus says in the Old Testament times would have been shalom. In the Hebrew language, it is shalom. And shalom means so much more than just peace. When we think of peace, we think of an absence of conflict or, you know, things are going well at that point. But shalom is a blessing. It's a blessing that says, "May it be well with you, with your whole being. May everything that you are under, whatever you go through, may you still have peace." I think a widow woman kind of had this in mind as her husband had recently died, and she wanted to put something on his tombstone. So she wrote two wonderful sentiments on that tombstone. One was, "Rest in peace." I think she had made peace with the fact that, yes, he was gone, and she wished for him to be at comfort and at peace now. And then she also wrote, "Until we meet again," because of the love and the time that they had spent together in the family. Two wonderful things to write on a tombstone, but if you put them together, it didn't come out quite right. "Rest in peace until we meet again." And I think that's kind of what our peace is here on this earth. That's the way we think of peace. That you may have a pleasant peace. That, you know, things may be going well with you. But until there's conflict again. May you have peace until there's conflict. May you have peace until a war starts up. May you have peace until things fall apart. That's our peace. The peace that comes from God is even when things fall apart, that you may still have peace. And that is basically the story of the resurrection, that Jesus was able to overcome everything. Even though things were going haywire, even though the religious leaders were after him, the religious leaders had him arrested and had him condemned to die, Jesus overcame that because he rose from the dead. Or even the Roman government, the Roman soldiers, the most powerful force on earth during that time, politically and militarily, Jesus was able to overcome that because he rose from the dead. Even the powers of Satan, the powers of evil, Christ overcame that. There is peace. There is peace. Christ even overcame death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And Jesus rose from the dead. Even death could not keep Jesus. And as we believe in Jesus, as we have that faith to believe in Jesus, comes that peace, knowing that no matter what happens to us in this life, God's still going to win the final victory. There is still a place for us. We will still live forever with God in peace. That's that sense of shalom. So no matter whatever life throws at us, no matter how cruel people are to us, no matter how much we mess up and feel the shame and feel the guilt, their peace is still possible. That's the idea of shalom. Here in this lesson today, Jesus comes and he says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." But that's not the last things that he said to Jesus, and according to Luke's version of this story, he also says, "You are to be witnesses of these things." They are eyewitnesses now that they have seen Jesus alive. They were there. They saw Jesus crucified. They helped place him in the tomb. They knew he was dead. And now they have seen him again. Jesus says you are to be witnesses, to go out. And so what are we supposed to do now? We believe in this resurrection. We know that Christ died for our sins, that he rose to bring us new life. So what are we supposed to do? Tell you what, this is what we do. We go out and we kiss frogs. We go out and kiss frogs. Most of you know the story of the frog and the princess. The short version goes something like this. An evil witch turned a prince into a frog. And the only way to break the spell was for a fair young maiden to come along and kiss the frog. Well, the frog sat there. Who wants to kiss a frog? He sat there day in and day out, close to the ground, full of warts and full of slime. Until one day, there's a fair maiden that comes along and she kisses the frog. And poof, he turns back into a prince. And as you know, the story ends, they live happily ever after. But that's what we are supposed to do. We're to go out and kiss the frogs. There's a lot of frogs in this world. We're all frogs to a certain extent. We are covered in the warts of sin. We are also covered in the slime of our own doing. We get to feel like we're low to the ground, that we're ugly, that nobody wants us, that everybody is neglecting us. We feel like frogs until someone comes along and kisses us. And poof, we are returned back to who we are supposed to be. We realize who we are supposed to be. Children of God, created in his image. We are here, created in the image of God to serve God, to remember what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And so our job is to go out there and to be the witnesses to that, to go out and kiss the frogs. Sometimes I feel like I'm the frog. Somebody needs to come and kiss me to make me feel new once again. And that power is done through the power of Jesus Christ to make us new, to make us whole, to make us be who we are to be. Children of God, created in his image. Christ in his resurrection has blessed us with his peace. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.